I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
They have got the man out wide. It's McGilvray for the corner, and McGilvray is in.
Welcome back to the Talking with Giants podcast, the Huddersfield Giants fan podcast, where today we'll be picking the bones out of the Giants' 28-0 home defeat to St. Helens, discussing the latest talking points in rugby league, and looking ahead to Friday's game away at Wigan. Joining me, Josh Phillips, are Jake Rowlands and Nathaniel Wood. So, first of all, how are we, boys?
Very good, thank you. Yourself?
Just about got over last week.
Yeah, well, not quite yet, but yeah, unfortunately not the result we were looking for in our first home game of the season. We'll start with you, Nat. How did you see the game?
Not as negative as some of our fans have been. Apart from the last 5 minutes of each half, I was quite pleased with everything apart from his attack, to be honest. I thought they didn't really cause as many problems, I don't feel. During the game, this obviously the first try off a kick, which is a good set play, which I'm starting to worry might be a thing against our defence, because Lee tried it 3 or 4 times the week before and scored from it. They scored first on Saturday, so I'm wondering if some coaches are just picking up on some of what we're doing wrong defensively, possibly, or if it's just really good attacking play, I'm not sure. But like I said, apart from the last 5 minutes of each half, we were well in the game with them. They scored 2 tries in the last 5 minutes and 1 in the last 5 minutes of the first half. If you take them points off, we only lose 12-0. And I think that's probably a fair reflection of where the game was. I don't think 28-0 is a fair reflection of... You know, I've had a few people come to me who don't watch the game and say, oh, Giants got bad, 28-0. I thought, oh, we didn't get bad. Obviously, his attack didn't look great. We'll all agree on that. We'll all have different opinions on that. But everything else, I thought the commitment effort were good. We were speaking just before we came on, like Jake was saying, last year we probably lost 50-0, and I agree with that. You know, they didn't fall. They kept at it, you know. Saints were full strength, more or less, I think. We had, you know, his best forward, is probably his most skillful back, one of his best props missing. They're going to come back into our team, and our season will come down to losing to St. Helens in round two. We're not a St. Helens. Anything you get against Wigan, St. Helens, possibly even Catalan, is just a bonus for me. We'll get it's the teams like your Warringtons, your Hull KRs, your Hull FCs, your Salfords that we need to be beating if we want to finish in the top six. I won't be worrying about teams like Wigan and Saints. We're not at that level. Will we ever be at that level? I don't know, but we're far, far away from it in a minute, so let's concentrate on beating the teams around us, and that'll give us a good finishing spot at the end of the season, hopefully. So, not too disheartened, plenty to build on, plenty to work on, but we'll see how we go this week.
Okay, do you think the scoreline flattered Saints?
Slightly, yeah. I thought it was a really good game to begin with. Thing that bothers me the most is Ian Watson's tactics and style of rugby when you're playing St. Helens. And I know some will say that's his style and he plays it week in, week out, but he's proven since he's come here that style hasn't beat Wigan or St. Helens. We beat Wigan at home when they had a youthful squad out at home. But apart from that, the Charity Cup final, we've come close to beating him. We've never managed to get over the line since Ian's has been here with St. Helens and Wigan, I believe. The times when we've beat St. Helens away, we've played a different style of rugby, and he doesn't seem to be able to adapt his style or let them chance their arm against St. Helens. I get the feeling he's happy just to accept the defeat, playing his style of rugby. I had bigger expectations for the game. You know, we'd beat Lee last week, coming in here, first game of the season, decent crowd, real buzz outside ground. Could have played for 6 hours and we wouldn't have posted a point. I know we had some good position, but we never once looked like scoring. That was the thing. We could have gone on all day. Forwards, I thought, were pretty decent. Chris Hill had a quiet game compared to the week before. Ollie Wilson were phenomenal. Hugo were great when he came on. I thought he got really stuck in. But what's evident to me is when you play the top teams, the players that aren't quite good enough at that level and are nowhere near that level, they'll do a job against the bottom six sides, but just can't cut it against the top sides. I won't name names like I've done in the past, but there's at least five in that squad on Saturday that A, shouldn't be playing in the position that they're playing and are cut out for that position. If you want him to be a top six side, Tui probably lost us the game for me before half time. That absolutely killed it. You know, you've got to be catching that high bomb. It's just absolutely criminal. And I thought he really struggled in certain areas at fullback against Saints. Some of the kicks he were nowhere near. You know, Tui's probably a little bit quicker than Jake Connor as well. I wouldn't say Jake's particularly quick, but we did miss Jake at the weekend. But who starts next week in halfbacks after that on Sunday? I don't know. Do I have much confidence going into next week? No. but like, I do agree with that, you know, some other sides probably more on our level, but we're no nearer getting closer to St. Helens and Wigan now than what we were when Ian first joined us. So that's the bit that's a bit of a worry for me.
On the positive side, I thought Saints were impeccable, really. I don't think they did
good.
So it's obviously always going to be hard to beat a team like that. You know, they're an amazing team, World Club champions at the time we played them. we've got to play the new World Club champions next week, but, you know, they've done incredible things in the game.
I agree. Just quickly on that point, sorry, Josh, like, I don't think they had anyone missing. Like, they were 1-30.
They had Conrad Urill and Parsi, both of which, for me, causes trouble in the play.
But would Hull get into their starting team? No. I know he did against London. Wacker Blake's a better centre than Conrad
Urill. Yeah, he is, I agree. And the play of the teams, and I see Urill on telly, is awful sometimes, but yeah, every time he plays us, he absolutely tears us to bits. And he's the one player that sort of, he always seems to have a stormer against us.
And then you can go back to Parsi, and I agree with you, big lad tears apart, but then they're missing out someone like a George Delaney who walks into 10 out of 12 Super League teams at 19-year-old, 20-year-old, whatever it is, or you're leaving out a Sione, you know, Joe Baxter comes back, they're leaving out a Curtis Cirino, a Matt Whitley or Metaltier to get him back into the team. Like, look at the players that Ellen's can leave out of their side due to selection and rest. Like, their side compared to ours is an absolute joke. I know everyone tipping Wigan, and I think Saints being the underdogs and everyone tipping Wigan, I think it'll suit Saints down to the ground this year that no one thinks they're going to do all.
I agree with you there, but I also think
they were, like Josh said, they were every area of the game, they were outstanding. And we were 12-0 down at half time. And I said to the lads around me at half time, there's one big difference in this game, and that's they've had four or five chances in our line and they've scored twice. We've had four or five on their line and not scored once.
Not scored. But saying that 6-0 is a different game because you come out and you manage to get a score straight away and you're back in game.
It would. But yeah, we're still in the same boat that, you know, we didn't look like scoring, you know.
Why do you not think we didn't look like scoring? What technically, what do you think was wrong on Saturday, Nat?
I personally think we're too slow at nine.
Yeah.
And that's no disrespect to Adam Milne. I think he's done a fantastic job at nine. Defensively, you know, he played really well. I thought we were really good on Saturday again, to be honest. And no disrespect to Ashton Golden. I can see why he plays Golden. Golden's energy rubs off on everyone else on the team. You know, he's 100%. He never lets us down. He's not done a bad... When he's running from nine, he looks good. He looks a natural nine running. It's just when you get that quick play ball, you need to find your half or your fullback quickly. It's just too slow, and I just feel that back time... So, like, Russ got smothered a few times in CSD, but it's so slow going to Clue to then go to Russ. Russ looks up and someone's in his face. It's like, well, he either forces the pass or he takes the tackle. And knowing Ian Watson and his style, and after watching Starfast, Ian Watson probably tells him just to take the tackle, don't force anything, don't rush anything. And that's probably why he dies with the ball, where fans want to say, Russ needs to be quicker. Sometimes I agree, probably does, but over time it's so slow getting to him, and Saints are so quick indeed because they're so readable. It's probably best off just taking the tackle and not forcing it, because Ian Watson, not the coach where he wants you to offload and flick it out your backside and stuff like that. You like take the tackle, build again, next set, kick to the corner, turn over and D. That's how Watson plays. That's how he'll always play. We're not going to see any more exciting rugby until he leaves or the club decides for him to move on. What we're seeing now is what we're going to get because that's what Ian Watson's always done. But yeah, I just think it's just too slow. Not necessarily in the nines, I'm saying there, Millen and Golding, but I think it's been like that for 4 or 5 years, whoever's now. Apart from Danny Levi were here. Surprised that we had a good year that year because Levi were quick, but we've always just seemed to be slow out of nine. And I pretend to chuck Tom Deakin in this week and see if he can make a difference.
I'm going to say realistically, we've got the squad we've got for this season. I mentioned Deakin there. We've not seen him. But aside from that, is there anything we can change in our attack?
I'd bring Deakin in. We'll talk about it later, picking your lineup. But yeah, there'll be a couple of changes I think I'd make to Wigan on Friday. But I'm not sure Ian Watson will do that.
Yeah. Going back to that point, though, you know, that we've just discussed. If you know a team's got better players than you and they can play that style of rugby better than you because they're just better players, surely you would consider trying something else to win the game rather than just trying to beat them at a game that you can't beat them at, if you get what I mean? We do it every time. I mean, I've never watched so many games where St. Helens have... I mean, we watched it, I think it was last year or year before, they went down to 11 men and they still hammered us at their place. We just, like, when teams get a man sent off, it just does our style of rugby, it doesn't make a difference. If you've noticed, you know, we got beat by Salford at home when they spent the whole game with 12 men and they still turned us over. Teams can get a man sent off where I'm pretty sure if we got a man sent off, we'd crumble and concede 2 tries probably.
I said a word that no one likes, but he's not going to change his process. And that's the way he sets up all his team. Yeah. And I agree. You've trained all pre-season that way, then you don't just change because you're playing at St. Helens. Like, yeah, they're the better team and they're probably the better place to do that job because I think St. Helens like to play very similar to how we want to play.
Yeah.
I think he's, you know, he got Salford to a Challenge Cup final, a grand final. I know Jackson Hastings was a massive part of that. He took us to Wembley 2 years ago. He ain't a bad coach. His process is that bad. Don't get me wrong. Completely agree with what some people say. Sometimes it's really boring to watch. What gets on my nerves there is people only mention his style of play when we lose. That style of play we had against St. Helens was the style we played against Leeds the week before, but no one mentioned that because we won.
If the results were coming, nobody would care, like I said.
Yeah.
My concern is I like Ian Watson. I like listening to him. I like his ideas, and I really want him to do well. I really do. My concern is this is his fourth season now. He's been given everything he's asked, and we're still this far away. That's my worry. Am I worried, or am I overreacting?
I don't think you're overreacting. I think he's brought players in that he thought were potentially could do a job for him, and he's realised this year that they probably aren't off the back of what they've done at other clubs. For example, you know, your Jake Bibby's, Harvey Levetts. It's a lot of cap space that for players that can't get near the first team this year. And for me, that money would have been better spent on a top quality nine that could improve the first team squad. Because if you listen to him at the end of last year, he said, I'm only going to bring players in that are better than what we've got and can improve the squad. Don't think he's done that the year before. I think some of the players are way off where we need to be. I mean, you look at Abbas Miski, he came from London as a sort of project player. It looks like a world beater on wing at Wigan. You know what I mean? Anybody can play on wing for Wigan.
It's not that when you're playing outside Bevan French.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I'm all the way and I'd look good on wing for Wigan.
So we've got someone in from Wigan that's done an half-decent job for Wigan. He's playing in a Huddersfield side, but you don't get that service and it's different. You've got to do a bit more. And you don't look half like the player he was at Wigan, Jake Bibby. So, yeah, I think we're...
I agree completely with what you're saying. And I think I agree with what Josh said. And I think the problem is that, like you said, I think last year has probably set him back.
Yeah, it has a couple of years.
So we took 2 steps forward and you probably want to kick on from 2022. We've probably gone back here in 2023 because of the awful year we had last year.
I think he realised that now, because his comments on in one of the interviews he did recently, he did mention that we're two strike players down, which is why we've signed Tom Burgess. And he alluded to the fact he wanted another one. So hopefully he's learned that lesson.
I'm also convinced, and I said it to one of the lads again, if you put Ian Watson in a Wigan or St Helens dressing room, he will win trophies galore. And that's how good of a coach he is. Put Paul Wellens into a Salford dressing room, would he take Salford to a grand final? Matty P, I actually think would. I don't think Paul Wellens would. So you put...
Well, Salford fans were convinced when Ian joined us that Paul really had a lot to do with their attacking style along, you know, their attacking improvements along with the, you know, Ian were obviously behind the defensive formation that they had, but when Paul really joined, that's when they started scoring points. And some of the fans I know from Salford are adamant that's what's wrong with us. You know, we're missing someone to alongside Watto that can put them ideas in. I've got to say, the more time goes on, I'm starting to wonder whether there's some truth in that, to be honest. But we'll never know, will we, really?
No.
Tell you what, let's try and be pick out some positives from. I know we lost 28-0, but let's see what positives we can find. Give one of you each your top performer. We'll start with you, Nat.
Oh, I did sell Ollie Wilson at first, but Jake's mentioned how good he was, so I had to take the easy way out and obviously say Ollie Wilson and nick it off Jake if that's who Jake had in mind. I thought Jake, obviously going to disagree, I thought Chris Hill was quite good. I thought he does a lot of work. Say he's 35, 36, the work he gets through is something else. I thought Milner was solid again. Leroy, again at 13, very good. But I know Jake's mentioning, but Hugo, thought very impressive. He got a lot more minutes this week off the bench against a tougher team. And I think he took the fight to St Helens with him and Wilson off the bench. So I'll go Hugo. I thought he was very impressive. He was definitely a good rugby player in there that we could see grow this, even, I won't even say next season, this season. I think if you give him the proper game time, it could be a real handful for us all here.
Beck, it was your star man.
Yeah, I said it before, Ollie Wilson. I don't know. Last year, I don't know what happened to him last year. He seemed to have a bit of a quiet year compared to the year before, but someone's obviously said something to him this year because he's proper up for it. You can see the way he carries the ball. You can see his reactions when we scored at Lee. He just looks proper up for it this year. And I think if he keeps them sort of performances going, I think he might get near an England shirt at the end of this year if he keeps that up. But like Nat said, Hugo, you know, got a lot more minutes this week. Didn't make any errors. You know, he made a few in pre-season. But St Helens, I didn't notice him make one. Just carried the ball. Ad didn't take a backward step. I'm looking forward to seeing him develop as well. But them two for me were the standouts.
I'd have gone Wilson or Hugo as well. But we've had our say. Nat, what are the stats saying? Do they agree with our opinions?
No, because Hugo's nowhere to be seen in the top five of either. which surprised me. But obviously, he did play less minutes than your likes of your Chris Hill and your Wilsons and Leroy Zoo. And your Jack Merchers were 80-minute players, so maybe that's why. But tackle-wise, Leroy topped him again, sorry, with 40, zero missed, which, again, to say is his second game at 13, is what an effort, what a legend, what a man for this club that I don't think anyone can say a bad word about. Jack Merchers was second with 35. Sam Hewitt at 32, I thought this year's his big year, and in the first 2 weeks, he's showing why he's given the number 12 shirt on that right or left head, whichever he is. Sen made 32 tackles, which is pretty impressive for himself. And Chris Hill with 31, obviously. Sen with the one big surprise in there, how many tackles he's made 32 before in a game. But yeah, he got through a lot of work for us again on Saturday, and he looked good himself. Going forward, Isan Masters made 177 and topped his meters. He probably had 20, 30 on a couple of breaks each time, didn't he? So that obviously put him up there. But I thought he was good with ball in hand, a few mistakes with selling Swift down the river once and passing to touch, but hey, every centre does that for me, so not to worry about there. Elliot Wallace and Swift, 105 and 103. So again, shows you good work they did coming out of the backfield for us with their kicks. Leroy 78 and Hill 78. So again, two solid performers in the middle for us, you know, draw the 80 minutes. I know Leroy probably played 60, 65 minutes. Hill probably 55, 60. So you expect them to be in and around that start every week. Just a few more team stats that I seem to pick up this week, which were interesting, is I felt like Saints had, being there at the time, I felt like Saints had a lot more ball than us, but we only made 31 more tackles than them. Now, I know that's still, what we're saying, five extra sets, but being in the game, I felt that we're a lot more, so I was surprised at that stat personally.
I think that was that period in first half, though, where they had a few
Saints made 322 more metres than us, which was alarming. That stat, I also thought, showed at the game, because I thought they were rolling us downfield a lot more easier than we were rolling them downfield. Obviously, people like Luke Yates and Green were missing. I think that plays a massive part in that for us personally. Obviously, they're their first-choice pack out. And one stat that did surprise me was we had more kick-return metres than St. Helens did. So I think that shows two things of how good Swift and Wallace was, which obviously shows in how many metres they made that they both did the ton. And it shows how good a job defensively we did on people like Tommy Makinson, who, you know, he makes a lot of yards coming out of yardage for St. Helens, and obviously he was making more metres on the kick returns. We did kick to Makinson a lot. I think that shows that defensively we did quite a good job on Makinson. I think it was their forwards that killed us on Saturday, not the back three that sometimes St. Helens can.
What was the completion rate?
I'm not sure, but I can find out for you if you just give me 2 minutes.
Yeah, going back to while we're waiting, Sam Hewitt, there were quite a few people discussing him down at the ground, and I think these new rules will probably play into his hands, given this, you know, the size he is for a second rower, quite on the short side, but that can put a decent hit in. I think he'll start to come into his own with these new rules.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because that's... We're going to move on to, we can't really not talk about it, can we? The disciplinary issues and, you know, what happened with the New Brown incident on Friday night, I think.
Just
quickly, sorry, on Josh's point of completion rate. I have here that Giants completion rate, it says he was 75%.
Right.
St. Helens' completion rate was 99%.
Yeah.
Wow, 99%.
If that's right, he's completing at 99%, then you are going to win most games and put points on most teams. if that's right from the Super League website, if they're right with 99%, that is an outstanding effort from St. Helens.
It felt like it, didn't it? They didn't give
them. They completed 33 sets to our 25.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's... not going to give us much chance doing that.
They'll win every week if they complete at 99%.
And they beat everyone, yeah. So, yeah. On the disciplinary issues and the head contact stuff, don't know if you've seen, but the RFL today came out, and I think they've said they've sort of accounted for what happened on Friday by saying that they're going to change the interpretation of the rule. So that it's only initial head contact, head-on-head contact, which will result in a red card. So I suppose that's one positive, that they've acknowledged the... I don't think they've not called an error, but they've acknowledged the overzealous interpretation of that rule. But yeah, was there any other red cards this weekend?
I don't think so, but I think there was a yellow one in the...
Yeah.
Salford had a yellow card yesterday, but I didn't want to. I couldn't tell you what for. Darrell Clark obviously got Simbin against us, but that one for head high. He had a couple of yellows in the Leeds game too for high shots, didn't we, on the Thursday night at Hull KR. They've both been banned since. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just what were you guys, what was your take on what happened on Friday?
The Brown one was disgusting, really. If you're going to start sending people off for an accidental clash events, the game is absolutely gone. I'd fully support the players protesting, and if any fans wanted to go to offices outside the Etihad for RFL protest, I'd be there with them if it's going to keep coming to that, because it spoils games, and it spoiled that game the other night. Hull back in game, they were playing well, you know, they had the young side out, and it absolutely killed them, did that. Ruined a game of rugby league.
No, I agree. I've got a mate who supports LFC, and the messages he was sending me at half time, when obviously Newbraham got sent off, and I thought, well, I can't even like wind you up here, because if that happened to us, I'd be raging. Yeah, like I say, it was a disgrace. I know what they're trying to do, and I get what they're trying to do. And like I said last week, player safety is paramount in all this, but you all sign up to play rugby league, you know you're going to get a few knocks in the head, surely. Like, that's rugby league. I had it as a kid. Everyone had it as a kid playing rugby. Like, you know, in like Robbo said, I agree with what Robbo said in his press conference, you've never been able to tackle around the head. It's just the punishment for tackling around the head now. Like, for me, you should only be sent off if you mean to hit him around the head.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's accidental flush on the head, then you should be a yellow. Again, accidental head contact like it was. I thought Sam was on. He's received a 3-game ban, and I don't think that was that bad either, to be honest.
No, it wasn't.
He just tried reaching to tackle him and reach over, and he's caught him on the chin. He's not a vicious man. He's not a vicious play by Lasone. He's just a big lad trying to get the smaller man. He's reached over to stop it. What's he meant to do? Oh, he's a bit further away from me, so I'm going to let him run through and score. My coach will bollock me, change him after the game. Mm-hmm. You know,
difficult one, isn't it?
A bit more common sense needed, because it's all right saying the players are training for it, but when you're
the need to ref games like they did the Wigan Penrith game, there were a couple of fairly high shots there that you could tell weren't malicious. They were just, you know, mistimed, and they just let play go on, and it were a cracking game.
Rules, though, weren't they? They were playing more.
Yeah, they're the rules that you should be playing to, though. That's the thing. You know, that game flowed. It were a decent game. There were not. I know there were a few dubious calls in game, but in terms of cards and stuff and tackles, there weren't, you know, there were none of that, were they? You know,
Just big common sense. And I think, I don't know if anyone heard Rowan Smith's interview after the game on Thursday. He got it spot on that you want to look after the players, which is fine enough, but sending off and simming all these players, you're making 12 men do the job of 13 men. Well, that's going to hurt the players just as much as getting a whack around the head. That you're asking, you know, if you're defending with 11 men at one point, you know, you're doing the job of the extra two people, that's going to fatigue, that's going to hurt your players just as much. So I think they need to be careful with where they go here, but who knows what we'll throw up this weekend.
I think it doesn't help when people like John Wells is trying to justify the decision. I think he had a stinker on that one, but we'll move on. You just mentioned the World Club Challenge. Congratulations to Wigan. Did you two watch that game? And if so, what did you enjoy it? Because everyone seems to.
I got back for it. Thought it was a great game. Like Jake said, the game flowed. Yeah, you had a couple of dubious decisions from Liam Moore, who's from Wigan. But look, I'm going to be controversial here, and I'm going to stick up for Liam Moore. Now, I don't think any referee cheats. And he has to give try or no try in the field. And if you watch it, he's behind the other side of where the ball is. When he goes round to look at that ball, he must see the ball on the try line. And that's why he sent it up as try.
Mm.
Surely, because if he's not on the line there, he has, just like the Taylor Mayer in the last minute, when he's got there to check it, Jai Field's got the ball held up, so he's given no try. He's not give try to cheat. I believe no referee does that to cheat. I'm not saying it was the right, because if we've seen the replay, more should the video ref disallow it? You can't, can you? But Liam Moore must have seen that ball on the try line to give try. Don't think. Because if he hasn't, he's plainly cheated and should never referee again.
Hmm. But sometimes...
I think he's had a guess at that, personally. And when he got there, we were no near at try line, really, to be honest. I can't say how you can give that. If that were the other way around, I'm sure there'd be a lot of Wigan fans going mental.
No, I agree.
Saturday night, you know,
I agree what you're saying. I'm just got a bit of sympathy. I just believe that he must have seen the ball on the line. I'm not saying how aware, because I never saw it on the line. And we are like, for me, you've got to say, you're guessing. We've seen video angles from two or three different angles. We've seen 9 or 10 replays since the game finished. I never once see the ball anywhere near the line.
Yeah.
But did he see that ball on the line? And that's why I said, I don't know. Maybe. We'll never know.
What I will say on a more positive note, Wigan's defence, because I think Penrith were making double the amount of metres going forward Wigan were making. That's leg speed. Everyone on the team's got some form of pace, whether you're a nookie, you're a forward, you're a back, full back. But Wigan, I saw defence from players like Jai Field that I've not seen before from Wigan. Whether they can keep that up, I don't know. Whether it'll affect them this week, having put that a shift in like that, it's only we will be there to see, won't we? But you know, Jai Field made some outstanding tackles. Bevan French, you know, that aren't players that are usually, you know, renowned for the defensive capabilities. You know, if we can play like that against us, we get nil. Simple as that.
That one-on-one tackle on Taylor May when he showed him the touchline, and you know that he deserved man of the match for me just for that one tackle. Yeah. That changed the game. That really, all of a sudden, then you know you could just see Penrith getting on top, and then he caused that, which means the Wigan crowd have got right up for it. They were noisy in for the last 10-12 minutes. That probably lifted the players. The one player I was seriously impressed with for Wigan was actually Cade Ellis. He played massive minutes. I bet he made 150 metres of ball in hand and 40 tackles. Like, he had to play a few minutes with Cruz going off and Mike Cooper spent a lot of time on the sideline. Like, he was absolutely outstanding for Wigan on thing and took it to the Penrith pack, who's probably one of the best packs in the NRL, never mind, you know, in the world of club rugby. Yeah. So I thought he were outstanding and deserves a massive shout out too. But
I've started to notice Liam Byrne a lot more recently. He's a huge bloke, probably one of the biggest prop forwards in Super League, to be honest with you. I've not really noticed him in the past, but the last year or so, particularly the night, I thought he's starting to real come into his own now. I don't know if he went off injured actually, so he might, hopefully, fingers crossed, he'll be out of Friday's game. But he's becoming some player as well.
We record this on a Monday night, so hopefully they're also not pissed celebrating, not worrying about training.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's the obvious question from our perspective as Giants fans. Do we think probably is a good time to play him after that, because it will have taken a lot out of him.
Yeah, I agree.
We seem to score more points against Wigan than we do St. Helens. And that's something that I've noticed over the last few years, really, don't we? We never seem to score many points at St. Helens away. We never score more than a couple of tries against them at home, really. It's always a low-scoring game. But Wigan, we do seem to be able to put more points on, whether we win or lose.
I don't know if the stats will back this up, but when we play Wigan away, we either win or get bad.
Yeah.
It's one of, we never lose a close game, it seems, that we, you
know.
We have
a few years ago when Jerry Neely scored, didn't we, at last minute.
But normally, we have beat him.
Yeah.
We absolutely smashed by him. So who knows what will turn up Friday. All I know is if we can play anywhere near the level they did against Penrith, I don't think we'll get out of his own half. And that's not just us, that's any Super League team. If they play like every week in Super League teams, no one's going to, not even St. Helens will touch them.
What do you think we could do differently at Wigan, or is it just going to be? You know, I've touched on it earlier in the podcast, but do you think we'll? What's our key to winning? If we are going to get result, what do we have to do well?
I clearly think this week he'll. Unfortunately for him, I think Russell will drop out of the squad this week. He alluded to a few weeks ago that his potential best lineup would probably be two in halves, Connor at fullback. Based on how we were against St. Helens, I think he's going to have to try that out to see what it's like. And if it fails, then he might have to rethink it. For me, we've got to start finding... I'm not saying anyone's playing particularly bad, but we've got to start finding places in squad for players like Sam Alsall and Fenny. You know, if they were at Wigan, they'd be playing now. If they were at St. Helens, they'd be playing now. When's the right time for them to come in? Alsall shouldn't really have been dropped for me. I know Masters and Nakama's been solid this year, but Alsall were excellent last year. How long do you wait before them players start to play? You know, look at your Abbey Hills. Had an outstanding game for Wigan at World Cup Challenge. I think he's 20. If they're good enough, they're good enough to play. We're saying that they're good enough, but we don't seem to play them. So, I don't know. I'd like to find them a place in the squad. Or let's say... but for me, get him in.
We'll come on to line up in a second, but first of all, Nat, how do you think we can win this game?
Don't like to agree with Jake too often, but probably just move away from Watson's style. I wouldn't, and I don't think he will, for what it's worth, and that's the way we're going to play. but maybe just chance your arm a bit is what I'd do. Will I think we'll go there and do that? No. I do agree with Jake again that I think Russ will miss out until he'll play six and Jake will go one, which I suppose if you're going with a spine of Jake Connor, Tui Lollaher, Adam Clune, Adam Milner, Leroy Cudjoe, you've got, you know, with Leroy ball playing, you've got three, four good ball players that, you know, you could, like, Jake can magic something out of his ass if he wants to. He's that skillful, he kick, he can pass, he can run. Two is a better six than he's a one. So I think the attack probably will just be sped up by having them two Mavericks on the pitch together. The big worry is, like we said last year when they played together, a lot of them, will they overshout each other and overkill each other and both want the ball, or will they work together? If them two can click together, then I think points will fall off the back of that, because them two are both very skillful players.
What worries me with that, though, is two is much worse than Russ in defence. We saw that in London pre-season game when he moved to six. That's my concern. I think we'll score more points going forward, but I think we might be a little bit worse defensively with Tui in, and other people are going to have to stand up and do a job around him.
No, I can't remember what side Clune defends on, but if Tui's next to Jack Murchie, I think we're all right. He's so good. I love him already, to be honest. Yeah. Probably my favourite player this year already after two games. I think he's outstanding and gets through so much work. You've just got to try and... Your centre and second row just got to try and cover him a bit. And you've got to back him to make his one-on-one tackles when he needs to. You know, he's not going to have a massive second rower running at him. It's going to be Farrell or Issa. You know, they're not massive second rowers, bulky second rowers like a Sirinin is at St. Helens and a, you know, a Savelli or Huwara LFC. Like, he's not that sort of... They're just quite nippy. And, you know, two would be and a half should have the feet to be able to cover them too defensively. So, yeah, I'm not... You want about scoring points, then for me, points will come off the back of Jake and Tui getting reps in playing together. If them two click together, then Jesus Christ, you can score 30, 40 points in a game with them two. You know, the only other year they were top two in assisting Super League by Country Mile Club and everyone else. Now we both got them in our team. If you can get them working together and Clune just guided around the field, which I thought he did a bit more at St. Helens, he was guiding us around. You know, he had a couple of kicks at forced dropout, so I think he's just steadily growing into it. And if he can just grow into it with him and Milner steady around the field and let Jake and Tui do their bits in Wigan's half, then points will flow defensively. Just go back, you know, go back to what we did on Saturday. Saturday weren't bad, but definitely go back to what we did at Lee. Just fight for everything, scramble every time. You know, like you say, Wigan, we know, you know what Wigan's going to throw at you. This is the big thing with Wigan. You know what they're going to throw at you. It's just, can you stop it? Easier said than done when we're sat in stands, I suppose. But
yeah.
What changes would you make to the lineup?
Me? Cassil's age, I'm not sure if he can do a week in, week out, and whether it's good for him. I'd like him to be rested for bigger games. Obviously, this is a big game, so. But if you're looking at it in a way that, like Nat mentioned earlier, targeting those games that, like, Salford, OKR, do we leave Cassil out against Wigan, give somebody else a chance? I don't know. Seb, I mean, he's done better this year, Seb, and he's been pretty good. But could someone like Fenny do a better job than Seb, even at this stage? I think so, judging from what I've seen from him last year. I know you're in Championship, but he certainly looks good enough. Last year when he played at Wigan away, he was probably our best forward that day. I think they've got to get him in the squad. Whether it'll be this week, I don't know, but I'd have him in, certainly. Sam also, I'd have him in for either centre. I know Masters were great, like, steady, but I just want to see him in squad. I think he's more capable of breaking line than his defence. He's probably better than Nakama's, from what I've seen. Like you say, it'd be harsh to leave either out, so I don't know how we'll go. I think the only definite changes I think we'll get is Deakin in and Tui at six, with Jake coming in, with Russ dropping out, rest of them. So it's a guess, really.
So you're taking him for Golding?
I think so, yeah, because you can't exactly leave Milner out because Golding's not an out-and-out nine. So, but then it's like, if somebody else gets injured, Deakin can't play in any other position. So, and I know Watson likes to go with Golding for that reason. So he said Golding were fine after the game. So again, I won't be shocked to see it being Milner and Golding with Watto.
Yeah, I get the feeling. I don't think he'll put Deakin in for this one.
No.
I think he'll go.
You've got to remember, Deakin's only a young lad, but from what, you know, from listening to him, he came here to play first grade. So if he gets 6-7 games in season and he ain't playing, you know, likewise, like a Sam Alsall and others, they're going to start to upset camp if players are knocking on his door like they were last year saying, why aren't I playing?
I might be wrong. It's just a feeling I get. I think in a game like Wigan away, I think he'll go with Golding.
Yeah,
but we'll see. Right, we'll come to predictions now. And just before we predict, one thing to bear in mind, I've just done a little bit of research. Last time Wigan played in the World Club Challenge was 2019, and they got beat 20-8 by Sydney Roosters, and they went on to lose the next four matches in Super League, one of which was Giants at their place. So maybe might be clutching at straws, but just thought I'd drop that in. Maybe it'll be relevant. Maybe it'll be absolutely irrelevant. But yeah, so first of all, Nat, what's your prediction for the game?
Giants by 6. Just think that the win, I think they will have celebrated for a couple of days because, let's be honest, we would. You know, winning the World Cup Challenge is a massive achievement for all Super League teams. So if they celebrate for a couple of days and they don't come back into training until tomorrow, they've only got one session, if that, before the players, which is probably fine because, like I said, it's a very similar team to last year, and apart from Adam Kerrigan in, his spine's the same, forward's the same, Brad O'Neill starts at 9, Cruz. The likes of Cruz leaving won't be playing. I doubt Mike Cooper will play. Like I said, Burn looked like he had a knock. You know, Kerrigan had a knock at one point. Like, there are a few that knocks that they might just think, we don't need to risk. You know, if we do lose to Huddersfield, then it's only round 2 for them. So, like I say, I think cost of one and how much that game will have taken out of them, let's be honest, it's it was an almighty effort. And like I said, fair play to them. Like you said earlier, congratulations to Wigan for doing it. But I think the high to come down to where they must be on Friday, if they can turn up and they can do the similar performance and do to us what they did to Penrith, then that just shows their elite mentality that club have got and that team have got. I'll be very surprised if they can. So I'll stick faith and hopefully Jake and Tui together can rack up some points for us and we'll win by 6.
Jake, do you reckon we can catch them cold?
Yeah, possibly. But I think another reason what I'm looking at is after Saturday's performance, I think there'll be very few fans there at Wigan. It seems to be what happens at Giants, and the fewer there, the better we seem to do. So I think if we only 100 in stands, we've got more of a chance of pulling some off, because it just seems to be over the years what happens, really. So I think we've got a chance. I don't think it'll be an hammering. I think it'll be a narrow win or a narrow loss, either way. Can't call it now, really. Either way, by only a few points. 4.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you. I think it'll be tight. I don't think it'd be 28-0 this week. I think it'd be tight either way.
14. Yeah, it could be like 14-12, 14-10 either way. I can't see it being high scoring, but I can't see it being, you know, as low as 6-0, 6-2, you know, like penalty to I don't know. It's hard to call this week, really, because you don't, like you say, you don't know it's taken out of Wigan. Could have been on a high all week to then come back to playing, you know, stadium full with 25,000 there to probably a stadium with probably, I don't know, 9-10 maximum there, maybe this week, I don't know. A totally different atmosphere. It will be difficult players to get up for it this week. So I don't know, but I hope we're up for it because we should be. You know, a win at Wigan and then we've got a few easier fixtures. And we could really set ourselves up for a decent little run, really, you know, playing Cass. Oh, by the way, I had a decent game at Salford yesterday. Decent attacking game. So I don't think they're going to be the easy feat this year, what people thought they might be. Looked pretty good yesterday. So yeah. I don't think any game will be easy, but easier.
Yeah. Oh, you've convinced me then. Oh, Giants bad. Right. Well, I think that's all we've got time for this week.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Thanks to Jake and Nat for coming on. Yeah, hopefully we can get the win on Friday and we will review it. Well, it'll be early next week when we review that one. But yeah, thanks again for listening and we will speak to you next time.